Well, a warm welcome back to The Sweet Spot, proudly sponsored, of course, by AK Bets. I'm Warren Asher, standing in once again for Dave Clark, and we've got a very happy Steve Palmer once again joining us this week to give his expert view. Steve, firstly, how are you doing? You must be very upbeat after last week.
Good morning, Wazza. Yeah, I am upbeat. I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was, though. I thought I was cruising to a PGA Tour winner on Sunday night. I was actually planning an early night. I thought if we got eight shots ahead, I thought if Hideki Matsuyama gets eight shots ahead, I will go to bed because I was feeling jaded. But he certainly didn't get eight shots ahead and he put me through the ringer. But yeah, we'll get on to that.
Yeah, plenty of time to talk about that success a little bit later on. Firstly, just to remind you of the AK Bets offer. They are, of course, the sponsor of The Sweet Spot, and they've got an excellent welcome offer for you. Place your first bet on any golf market and get 50% off your stake back as a free bet up to £25. Terms and conditions apply. Make sure you use the code SWEETSPOT25 when signing up. Well, we're going to start off by looking back then at last weekend's tournaments, and we'll start off with a Czech Masters, Steve, which you mentioned last week. It was a new course, it was a tricky test, and we had a first-time winner on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, we had a 225-1 winner, David Rovetto. Great shame we weren't on board for Rovetto's breakthrough victory. We were following him a lot at the start of the year, you might remember. You know, the Just One Rovetto songs were coming out. We like the look of him, but he's been poor recently. I don't think we can beat ourselves up for not being on him last week. He'd missed six of his last seven cuts prior to last week's effort. He had a month off, and the month off clearly did him the world of good. Came back a different player. He won on the Challenge Tour in February. Now he's off the mark on the DP World Tour. So yeah, he's a 27-year-old Frenchman that we're keeping an eye on Wazza, because he's a great driver of the ball. He's got a big future.
Yeah, as you say, it was one of those events where probably took some players a bit of time to get used to their surroundings. Bernd Wiesberger was one that you flagged up, Steve, who I think finished tied sixth in the end. He was up and around the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, you're right. We got a good run for our money from Bernd. Tied sixth with three other players. Yeah, fantastic ball striking as per usual from Bernd. He topped the greens and regulation stats on Sunday. But putting is still a bugbear. Yeah, he putted really poorly in round two, poorly again in round four. So, yeah, if he can just find a way to get the ball in the hole, then he will resume his DP World Tour winning. But, he's not for me this week. Jesper Svensson's the other one that we must mention, the runner-up. He's a player I like. He's a 28-year-old Swede. I think he's going to win a second DP World Tour title pretty soon. He played 70 holes, par or better, last week, Wazza. 70 of the 72 holes, par or better. Yeah, really solid performance. So, yeah, keep your eye on Jesper and keep your eye on Rovetto.
Yeah, certainly two players to keep an eye out on over the coming weeks. We can't hold off any longer. We've got to talk about Hideki. It's been one of those tournaments, Steve, as you said earlier on, it's put you through the ringer. He was five shots ahead going into the final round. Within nine holes of that final round, he'd seen that lead completely capitulate. It looked like Victor Hovland was on course to go and claim the victory. Full credit to Matsuyama, though, because he got his head back in the game and he finished the job.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be serene. I mean, he was in total command, five shots clear through 11 holes of the final round. But then the referee had a word with him on the 12th. The ref highlighted a possible rules infringement from the seventh hole. So he was staring at a potential two-shot penalty and, he had to defend himself against that charge, which he did so successfully. So on the 12th hole, he talked the referee out of giving him a two-shot penalty. If you look at the incident, it's clear that he didn't break any of the rules. Won't go into the details of it, but he didn't deserve to get a penalty. But he was ruffled by that chat because, he doesn't speak great English, does Hideki? So it was a tough job for him to defend himself to the referee. It would have been a tense exchange. He got the result he wanted, but a huge wobble followed. His first three putt of the week came immediately after that chat. Three putted the 12th for bogey, bogeyed the 14th, double bogeyed the 15th. So in a flash, the lead is gone. I was in a state of bewilderment on the sofa, as you can imagine. Yeah, my early night plans are in disarray. I may not even get the winner. My heart was pumping, but thankfully, the 17th and 18th holes, which are really difficult holes, Matsuyama rose to the occasion in incredible fashion. He's got one of the best temperaments in the game. He always has. He's got like ice running through his veins. And he made a brilliant birdie at the 17th hole with a long putt. And then on the 18th hole, bit of breeze flapping around. He hit a magnificent three wood to the middle of the fairway. And then his approach shot was all over the flag. I mean, it was a bold approach shot. Birdie finish. And it, yeah, if you turned on the next day, it looks like a cozy two-shot victory. You wouldn't have had a clue what had gone on.
Well, you have to also throw into the equation as well, Steve, the fact that his usual team wasn't with him for the tournament. Yeah. For those that didn't know, he'd been at the Olympics in Paris. He'd stopped off in the UK on the way to playing in the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And there was a bit of a robbery that went on and it meant that most of his team couldn't be with him for that tournament.
That's right. He was in a restaurant in London on his way to Memphis from Paris. And they had their bags stolen. And Matsuyama's caddy lost his passport. Matsuyama's coach lost his passport. So they couldn't come with him to Memphis. Thankfully, Matsuyama was able to. And they didn't steal his bronze medal, of course. It would have been horrific if his bronze medal had gone as well. But troublesome times for Matsuyama in lawless London. And thankfully, he put it all behind him. Again, just shows his great temperament. So, yeah, he recruited a caddy from the Japan tour, flew him over to Memphis, because not many of the caddies speak Japanese, of course. And he got this caddy that he liked from Japan. And, just what a character to hold himself together in those circumstances. And then what transpired on Sunday?
Like you say, Steve, temperament unbelievable from Hideki Matsuyama. A fantastic victory, fantastic pick from you as well. So success last week at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. There was one other tournament, of course, as well. That was LIV Golf Greenbrier. And we keep mentioning this every week about John Rahm. Again, he falters late on and eventually loses to Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. Koepka was 20-1 last week. I mean, he's won more LIV titles than anyone else now. He's the first player to get to 5 LIV titles. Nobody else has won more than 3. So Koepka, prolific winner. He won once in 2022, twice last year, twice this year. But he'd been rubbish for a couple of months. Yeah, I thought he'd down tools for the year. He had no chance of winning the seasonal point standings with that big bonus check. So I was surprised he put it all in last week. John Rahm, of course, the opposite. He's in the mix for that. But he bogeyed the first playoff hole. I mean, the fragility of Rahm has shown up a little bit this year. And his approach shot in the playoff was way too long. Went to the back of the bunker, couldn't get up and down for par. So Koepka won the playoff against Rahm with a par. But Rahm had the consolation of going to the top of the seasonal point standings. You remember we were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
Wackham Neiman was disappointing for us last week. He finished 15th. He missed so many putts early in round one, playing catch up all week. So 15th place meant he surrendered the top spot in the seasonal point standings to Rahm. It's between those two now. They go to LIV Golf Chicago in the middle of next month to have that shootout for $18 million.
Okay, well, that wraps up all of last week's action then. 3 tournaments last week, 3 to look forward to this week as well. And as ever, we'll start in chronological order with the DP World Tour, which is heading to Denmark this week for the Danish Golf Championship. It's at the Lubke Golf Resort. What can you tell us about the venue, Steve?
Yes, a new venue, Lubke Golf Resort, Aarhus, Denmark, 7,026 yards, par 71, 4 par 5s, 5 par 3s. The course opened in 2008, making its championship debut this week. Heavily contoured greens and aprons are the signature of this venue. Get very tricky on and around the greens. I think this course gets more difficult the closer you get to the hole. I mean, you've got tree-lined fairways, but they're a lot of short holes, so you can just chip an iron down there if you fancy. But the weather gods are going to make this a challenge for the first 3 days. We've got 3 really breezy days. We've got cloudy and cool conditions all week. Temperatures in the mid to high teens before a more pleasant Sunday.
Okay, we'll get Steve's selections in a moment and a little bit more of a guide as to which kind of players that you'd be looking for. But in terms of the latest betting with AK Bet, possibly not a massive surprise to see that the Højgaard brothers are at the top of the betting. Nikolai is the 12-1 favourite. Rasmus is 14-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 16-1. Thorbjørn Olesen is 18-1, along with Tom McKibben. And Richard Mansell, 22-1. Bigger the rest. Steve, how many selections for the Danish Golf Championship?
We've got 156 players going to post, which I should have said. And we've got 4 selections.
slightly worried you were about to say we've got 156 selections. I was thinking, Steve, I've got all the stuff to do today. We've got to get on with it. Four selections for the Danish Golf Championship. I was just going to mention there, you mentioned the weather. It's going to be breezy. Has that been taken into account in terms of players that you like, or you know, that like playing in the wind?
Very much so. Yeah. I want players that are adept in the wind.
Okay, so selection number one for the Danish Golf Championship. Who are our main pick this week?
It's Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen, 18-1 with AK Betts. Thunderbear, who has always possessed magic hands on and around the greens. He can approach this week's challenging short game assignment with confidence. He's been licking his lips about this tournament. You read his quotes. He loves going home to play in Denmark, in his homeland. He finished seventh in the inaugural Made in Denmark. Yeah, this tournament is the Made in Denmark. They've rebranded it, to the Danish Golf Championship. So we had the first Made in Denmark in 2014. Olesen was seventh in that. He's had four top 25s in this tournament. And I think the venue switch plays into his hands, a premium on short game skills. And it's going to be windy for the first 3 days. Olesen's so comfortable in a breeze. His maiden win came by the coast in Sicily. He won in Perth. He's won the Dunhill Links. I think he's the most likely title contender. And obviously, when he gets a chance, he often takes it. He's an 8-time DP World Tour winner. He's only 34 years of age. His eighth victory came in January in Ras Al Khaimah. And he's shown enough since then to suggest it'd be a major factor this week. He was 14th in the Texas Open in April, 16th in the Myrtle Beach Classic in May, fired a final round 61, 14th in the Olympics last month. Yeah, beware the Thunder Bear.
Well, I have to say, I think 18-1 is a really, really healthy price for Thorbjørn Olesen, our first selection for the Danish Golf Championship. Who's pick number two, Steve?
Next best is Sam Bairstow, 33-1 with AK Betts, who's been having a hugely impressive DP World Tour rookie campaign. This is another proud Yorkshireman, you might know him. He's Sheffield born, just turned 26. And the future looks bright for this 26-year-old. He had an excellent amateur career. He got up to world number 7 in the amateur rankings. He turned pro in September 2022, won on the Challenge Tour last year in his first season on that circuit, 8 top 20s in that Challenge Tour campaign, signed off with 4th place in the Challenge Tour Grand Final, and now he's immediately started banking checks in the higher grade on the DP World Tour. This year, he's already had 10 top 25 finishes. He was 3rd in the Singapore Classic in March, 6th in the ISCO Championship, a co-sanctioned event with the PGA Tour last month. He carded a Saturday 62 in that. Then he closed with a 67 on Sunday for 12th place in the Czech Masters. I like the look of this player. Classy left-hander. An Englishman, of course. Doesn't mind the cool temperatures this week. Doesn't mind the wind that's going to come his way. I think he's got a massive chance of being the latest Englishman on the honours board. The Made in Denmark. David Horsey's won that. Matt Wallace won that. Oliver Wilson won that. Englishman got a good record in this.
Yeah, I like the look of Sam Bairstow. I'm going to say that, though, as a Yorkshireman, aren't I?
But Yorkshire! Come on, Wazza.
Sam Bairstow, then, is the second tip for this week's Danish Golf Championship. Two more to come. Who's pick number three, Steve?
Pick number three is David Micheluzzi, 110-1 with AK Betts. Perhaps the best value runner of the golfing week. Chalked up as an also-ran, but I make him a leading title contender. He's a 4-time winner on the Australasian Tour. 3 of those victories came last year. He won the Order of Merit, and that provided access to the DP World Tour. And he's having fun this year on the DP World Tour. He was 16th in Bahrain, 7th in Singapore, 10th in the Italian Open at the end of June, 2nd in the BMW International Open last month. He hasn't done much wrong since that bold effort in Germany. He missed the cut by a shot in the ISCO Championship, a rare stateside start. He carded 2 rounds of 71 for a narrow missed cut last week in Prague. This week's assignment, a much better fit for me. He's got an elite short game as Micheluzzi. He'll relish the difficulty of these slopey greens. He's brilliant in the wind, as most Australians are. And he finished 14th in the Dunhill Links last year to underline that point. And the icing on the cake is that he has played in this event before. He was 17th last year on his Made in Denmark debut, despite arriving off the back of 3 consecutive missed cuts. So, yeah, huge threat at a fancy price.
Yeah, positives galore with pick number 3. And we did promise you one more selection for the Danish Golf Championship. Who are we finishing with, Steve?
Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson, or Pettersson, maybe Pettersson. Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson, 50-1 with AK Bet. You mentioned the Hogards. The Hogards will be hogging all the early attention this week. Mm. They'll have lots of media to do, but I suspect, the main Danish challenge will come from Olesen and Nygaard Pettersson. He's a fast improver. He was a great amateur. He played in the States for Oklahoma State. Loads of great players have emerged from Oklahoma State. He turned pro last summer, started banking checks straight away. He was seventh in last year's BMW International Open on the DP World Tour. So he signaled his intent early. That's a great effort in your first event. 12th in the ISBS Hander, was a regular contender whenever he dropped down to the Challenge Tour. He was 22nd in the Dunhill Links at the end of last year. And this year, he's just progressed quicker and quicker. He won on the Challenge Tour in March. He won his second Challenge Tour title in April. He nearly made it a hat-trick. He was second in Spain on the Challenge Tour. Then he was sixth in the Danish Golf Challenge at the end of May. So he's going to be a DP World Tour player next season. That's for sure. It'll be his rookie campaign next year. It's entirely feasible he goes into his rookie campaign with a win already under his belt, because that's how good he is, and he's going to relish this home turf gig.
So we could have a Danish winner this week. I mean, I suppose I can't leave the Danish Golf Championship without asking you about the Højgaard brothers, Steve, because, there's going to be, as you say, a lot of attention this week. Would that put you off a little bit, maybe too much attention on those two?
Well, it's a great tournament, this very enthusiastic home crowd, and they get really into it. As you say, the Hoggards can both struggle with their short game. I think these greens might find them out a little bit. And aside from the Olympics, Nikolai has been pretty rubbish for months. He's had a real dip in form. Rasmus hasn't played since the Open. He always seems to have some injury niggles bothering him. So I can't get excited at short prices about the Hogards. If you look at the top of the market, it's just full of dodgy putters. This week's greens and the surrounds to the greens, really, really devilish. So I think those short game frailties will be exposed.
Okay, well, that is the Danish Golf Championship. These four selections, we will go through all of the selections, of course, a little bit later on in this week's Sweet Spot. But we're going to turn our attentions now to the US PGA Tour. It is the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's the BMW Championship at Castle Pines. Again, another fantastic field, Steve. Before we run you through the prices, tell us a little bit about the course and what we can expect this week.
Yeah, we're back at Castle Pines Golf Club, Denver, Colorado. 8,130 yards. Par 72, four par fives. Castle Pines was a PGA Tour venue from 1986 through 2006. It hosted the International, which was a modified Stableford event. Now, almost two decades later, it's back as leg two of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Jack Nicklaus has been overseeing a revision of the layout to get it ready for its tour return. It's 600 yards longer than it was then. 10 holes have been redesigned, but the course is 6,500 feet above sea level. So the ball travels about 10 to 15% further in that rarefied air. So don't be too alarmed by the course yardage. Generous fairways. Approach shots are difficult. That's how Jack Nicklaus likes his courses. So I think distance control on approach is the key to success. Clubbing is so difficult at altitude. It's who can control their approaches for me. The weather is set fair, sunny, hot and calm. We've got a field of 50 going to post, no cut.
Okay, and just to fill you in quickly on the latest show betting from AK Bet, Scotty Scheffler, the 7-2 favourite, Xander Schauffele, 7-1, and then there's a bit of a gap in the market to Colin Morikawa and Rory McIlroy, who are as big as 16-1. Hideki Matsuyama, last week's winner, 18-1, and Victor Hovland at 20-1. Bigger the rest. How many tips?
Four!
You okay?
Yeah, I'm
just
okay.
A bit worried about your voice.
That's
two
okay,
fours
now.
In a row.
I'm okay. Yeah, we got a 4-4-2 formation this week, by the way.
Yes,
keeping the football like film going. You've got 100% record of success on Sweet Spot. Last week was your first Sweet Spot, wasn't it? And we had a winner. So we're going to keep your 100% record and we're going to keep the football formations going.
There's a little bit of a Mike Bassett theme to today's 4-4-2 formation. So four picks for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Who's your main selection here, Steve?
It's the same main selection we had last week. Patrick Cantlay, 22-1, keeping the faith. He got off to a horror start last week. Three over par through four holes. He made five bogeys in round one. But from Friday onwards, the real Cantlay was on show. The rust had gone from his system. He went bogey-free from the 15th hole in round one to the 18th hole in round four. So a stretch of 57 holes on a really difficult golf course without dropping a shot. His closing rounds were 67, 66, 66. He finished 12th. This is a proven FedEx Cup playoffs performer, ready to end the season with a bang. He won the FedEx Cup, of course, in 2021. That success was helped by victory in the BMW Championship. He won the BMW Championship again in 2022. I can see him completing a BMW hat trick on Sunday. He's ninth in the FedEx Cup standings now. A victory would put him right in amongst the leading contenders for the FedEx Cup. He's been rounding into form over the last few months. Patty Ice has got that long game solidity you're going to need this week. The distance control at Castle Pines is all important. Cantlay has got that in spades. It should be noted that his PGA Tour breakthrough came at altitude in Nevada in the 2017 Shriners Open. He's got a great record at altitude. His record in that particular event is magnificent. He's got a very experienced caddy on his bag in Joe LaCava. I think they're the men to be with this week.
Keep the faith, then, is the tip from Steve regarding Patrick Cantlay. So he's the first of four tips. Who's the next best here, Steve?
Colin Morikawa, 16-1 with AK Bet. So I'm prepared to give another chance to it. It was not much fun being on Morikawa for the Olympics. He did okay there. Couldn't find top gear. It was another solid effort, though. He's posted 12 consecutive top 25 finishes. He closed with a 67 for 22nd place in Memphis on Sunday. He was third in the Masters, fourth in the USPGA, runner-up at Memorial, 14th in the US Open, fourth in the Scottish Open, 16th in the Open. It's just been a procession of top finishes without lifting a trophy. Will this week be the moment that all that consistency is rewarded with some silverware? I think is entirely feasible. I think the main challenge this week is distance control on approach, as we've discussed. Morikawa, one of the best in the game in this department. You know, lots of players will struggle with this assignment. Balls flying huge distances, no control on approach. But Morikawa, with that trusty fade of his, be lasering in on the greens. I think he'd be the one who makes the fewest mistakes, Wazza. And that's what makes him an appealing each-way investment. You know, Cantlay's got that Nevada form in the book. Morikawa has lived in Las Vegas since 2019. Much of his practice is done at altitude at the Summit Club. He was runner-up in the 2021 CJ Cup in Las Vegas. So extremely comfortable with this week's mission is Morikawa. And he's fourth in the FedEx Cup standings. You're probably staggered by that. But, you know, it just underlines his consistency. Without winning, he's fourth in the FedEx Cup standings. Well in the hunt for the overall pot.
Well, I was with him for the Open Championship. And I looked at his form prior to that. And like you said there, I couldn't quite believe just how consistent he'd been. I can't quite believe that somebody actually lives in Las Vegas and has still got money to be able to travel around the world as well, to be honest with you. But Colin Morikawa is certainly a player who has shown massive consistency this year. And that's two selections so far, Cantlay and Morikawa. Who's pick number three here, Steve?
It's Wyndham Clark, 33-1 with AK Bet, who will be so excited to have found his A game in the lead up to his hometown event. Clark was born in Denver, in Denver this week. He won the Colorado State Championship in 2009. In 2011. He used to practice at Castle Pines as a youngster. He used to go and watch this tournament. He used to watch the international when it was staged at Castle Pines as a young lad. A decade later, his career has taken off no end. Last year, he won his maiden PGA Tour title, a four-shot romp in the Wells Fargo Championship. Then he became a major champion a month later. He won the US Open. Then he won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February this year. He was runner-up at Bay Hill, second at Sawgrass, third in the Heritage. Then he had a little quiet spell after those near misses. But over the last 2 months, been right back at it again. Ninth in the Travelers Championship, 10th in the Scottish Open. Had a nightmare Open, followed up with a Thursday 75 in the Olympics. But the final three rounds in Paris, 68, 65, 65, 14th place. Nobody outscored him over the final 54 holes of the Olympics. Then he closed with a 64 last week for seventh place in Memphis. So, yeah, he's going to be a really popular winner, is Wyndham Clark this week. You know, the Denver locals will be right behind him, and I think he can give the galleries what they're after.
So Wyndham Clark then will be a popular local winner this week. He's pick number three and fourth and final pick for the BMW Championship. Steve, where we're looking here?
It's Tom Hoagie, who is 125-1 with AK Bet. You know, my theory was, or is, that distance control on approach is the key to success at the modern Castle Pines. Tom Hoagie, one of the best in the business at controlling approach shots. He made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the 2022 Pebble Beach Pro-Am. At the age of 35, he's come to understand how good he is, Tom Hoagie. He carded a third round 62 in the Players' Championship last year to finish third in that event. He's not frightened by elite company anymore. He was third in the Travelers' Championship at the end of June. That's a signature event. All the best players were there. Hoagie believes in himself now, and I believe in him. He's missed a couple of cuts on the mark lately, but 125-1 is an enormous price. I think he's playing well enough to get in the mix here at a suitable venue.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned there, maybe these players that haven't had a win maybe wonder whether they should be in this sort of company for a tournament like this. But when you actually get into the FedEx playoffs, that's got to give confidence to players that are further down the rankings.
That's it. And Hoagie's in the top 30. So he's looking good to go all the way to East Lake for the Tour Championship. And that creates so many opportunities for the following year. If you get to the Tour Championship, it gives you playing rights for all the big events the following year. So, Hoagie highly motivated. Yeah, most of them are perhaps not the favourites, though. This is a crazy event in that respect. We can come to the favourites now.
Yeah, so Scottie Scheffler 7-2, Xander Schauffele 7-1. I said earlier on, a big gap between them and the likes of Morikawa and Rory McIlroy. We mentioned last week, Steve, that maybe fatigue is setting in a little bit on some of the bigger names. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I do think that's the case. And the top two in the betting this week just make no appeal for me. I mean, I feel like they did their job last week. Schauffele, job done. You know, he's kept pace with Scottie Scheffler. Xander Schauffele is the only player that can stop Scottie Scheffler going to East Lake next week, not as number one seed. You know, there's only two players that have the chance of going number one for East Lake, which is obviously very important with the handicap system. You get a two-shot head start next week in the Tour Championship if you're the number one seed. Scottie Scheffler, you know, he putted abysmally last week. You know, the demons are back. You know, the putting demons have been creeping into Scottie Scheffler's game over the last few months. He was awful on the greens last week, and as angry as you'll ever see Scottie Scheffler, you know, whacking his putter and just sort of fits of pique that you don't associate with Scottie Scheffler. I can see him taking the foot off the gas this week, you know, spectacularly. He's almost certain to be number one going to East Lake. There's nothing to be gained to be putting himself through the ringer this week. He did last week for reasons unknown. But fourth place there was enough to keep him in control of the FedEx Cup. It'd be very sensible for Scottie Scheffler to not practice much this week. Take it easy. Go into autopilot. Stay fresh for next week. I can't go anywhere near him at the short prices. It's the same with Schauffele. You know, he needs to win this week to have a chance of going ahead of Scheffler in the rankings for next week to take that number one spot. But I just think both of them have mentally accepted their places on that starting grid. You know, if you want to go into Formula One parlance, Scottie Scheffler knows he's almost certain to be number one. Xander Schauffele knows he's almost certain to be number two. Yeah, I think they've zoned out and they're focused on East Lake.
Quick tip for Scottie Scheffler from two dads on the sweet spot. Wait until your kids get to school holidays and then you'll lose your cool. He's not old enough yet to cause any of those sort of problems.
That's it. Yeah. He's got some tough times ahead. I mean, the school holidays seem to go on for about 10 years, don't they?
I think they do. For everybody other than maybe teachers. Anyway, that's the BMW Championship wrapped up. We've got four selections on the DP World Tour, four selections for the PGA Tour. And our third and final event of this week is a ladies' major, because it's the AIG Women's Open, and it's at, possibly the most famous golf course in the world, St Andrews Old Course. Steve, what can we expect this week from the venue and from the conditions?
Yeah, I was having that debate with myself in the shed last night, actually, whether it's the most famous golf course in the world. It's obviously only Augusta National that can rival it, isn't it? I think you're right. I think the old course just edges it, but maybe the commentators could have a say on that. But yeah, we're at the old course, St Andrews, Fife, Scotland. 6,672 yards this week, par 72. The old course has hosted the Women's Open on two previous occasions, 2007 and 2013. The winning scores in those events were just 5 under par and 8 under par. I think even worse might end up winning this time because Mother Nature is going to have some fun with the ladies this week, Wazza. It's awful playing conditions. It's going to be cloudy and cool all week. So, you know, temperatures are going to test them, but also extremely windy, especially on Thursday and Saturday. This could turn into a battle for survival. St. Andrews, when the wind's blowing, is a proper test. It's easy in calm conditions, but when the wind blows, it transforms it. I think accuracy and grit will be the keys to success this week. We've got a field of 1-4-4 going to post.
I wonder whether we might have a surprise winner due to the conditions. We'll get Steve's two picks in a moment or so's time. The latest odds, though, with AK Betts for the AIG Women's Open. Ayaka Furuori is 14-1. Jin Young Ko is 16-1, along with Nelly Korda. Ataya Titikul is 22-1. And Mayu Yamashita is also 22-1. It's bigger the rest. As we say, we've got a 4-4-2 formation this week, Steve. Who's the first of your two picks for the Women's Open?
Minji Lee, 28-1 with AK Betts. One of the best ball strikers on the LPGA Tour. This Open is going to be a serious test of tee to green control for me. A windswept St. Andrews, full of danger. Minji Lee can handle it better than most. She grew up in Perth, which is one of the windiest cities in Australia. I used to live there. I can vouch for that. Minji and her brother Minwoo Lee became masters of controlling their ball in the breeze from growing up in Perth. That skill could be crucial this week in seeing Minji win her first Open title. She's a 2-time major champion already, a 10-time LPGA Tour champion. I think she's going to bounce back from a disappointing weekend in the Scottish Open. She had some issues on the 18th hole at the weekend. She dropped from first place to 12th place, but all in all, that was a useful warm-up spin for the Open. She's gone from the Dundonald links to St. Andrews with a half-decent week of putting. I think Minji's a definite Open contender. 5 of her 9 Open starts have yielded a top 10 finish. 3 of her last 4 Open starts have yielded a top 5 finish.
Okay, so Minji Lee is the first of two picks for the Women's Open. Who else is in contention for St. Andrews' success, Steve?
Lydia Ko, 33-1 with AK Betts, the Olympic champion riding a crest of a wave. The LPGA Tour is not going to be for her for much longer. It looks like she's going to do an Eric Cantona, She's going to retire early. And much earlier than
I'm pleased you said that rather than jump into the crowd two-footed for a moment. I was slightly worried.
They're very different characters in that respect. Yeah, Lydia Ko, very good temperament. I mean, how old was Cantona when he retired? It was mad.
He was about 29, something like that.
Yes, he retired crazily early and went on to acting and whatnot. But yeah, Lydia Ko, because we were talking, do you remember we were talking about she's not going to be in the next Olympics? Well, she's very close to retiring. She's only 27, but she says this is probably going to be her final Open Championship. So this is a former world number one, 2-time major champion, 20-time LPGA Tour champion, looking to put the icing on the cake of a glorious career by winning her first Open and doing so at St. Andrews. It'd be a lovely story, and it's entirely feasible. She was low amateur in the 2013 Open at St. Andrews. She was 3rd at Turnberry in 2015. She was 7th at Muirfield in 2022. So she likes links golf. She's got the right attitude for rough weather. I mentioned her temperament. Such a positive character, stays cheerful. She won't let the wind and rain bother her. It was the same in Scotland last week in the Scottish Open. She stayed nice and cool, calm and collected while others were getting ruffled by the conditions. She finished 9th in the Scottish Open on Sunday. So, yeah, I've got an Aussie and a New Zealander going into battle for me in the Women's Open. They both grew up playing in the wind. They're not scared of this weather forecast.
Mm. Just a quick word on Nelly Korda, because she's been the talk of the town this year in terms of women's golf.
Yeah,
maybe not the conditions that she'd have been hoping for going to St. Andrews.
Well, she's never won an Open. She's had lots of cracks at it. She's only ever had one top 10 finish in the Open. And that event was not a links track, it's worth knowing. It's very strange. The Women's Open is not always a links track, which contrasts with the men's, of course. So her Open record is nothing to write home about. No medal at the Olympics last time out. She shanked one. I don't know if you saw that shot. She shanked one into the water at the 15th hole in the final round. So I don't think Nelly's got that confidence level she needs this week. She skipped the Scottish Open last week to stay fresh for this. Different tactic to a lot of the others. But, you know, I prefer that the ones that, you know, got a bit of links experience in Scotland and, yeah, much prefer my two.
Yep, completely agree with that. We have had then three previews this week. The Danish Golf Championship, the BMW Championship and the AIG Women's Open. And it's time to just remind ourselves of Steve's selection, starting with the Danish Golf Championship, Steve.
Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen, Sam Bairstow, David Micheluzzi and Rasmus Nygaard Petersen.
Four in Denmark, four also for the BMW Championship, and they are
Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark and Tom Hoggy.
And St Andrews and the Women's Open, two at last selections, and they are, Steve?
Minji Lee, Lydia Ko.
Thank you very much indeed. A 4-4-2 formation for Steve Palmer this week. If you're going to pick out one of those selections, who are you most confident about going into this week?
If you're only having one golf bet this week, have an each-way double on Thorbjørn Olesen and Patrick Cantlay. You know, that'll serve you well. And, you know, if you want to have an each way treble, have Olesen Cantlay with Minji Lee, Olesen Cantlay with Lydia Ko. Very tough to pick between my two ladies. I know you're only supposed to have one lady in your life, was it? But sometimes it's
just hard for this week, you're allowed to. Obviously, the Matsuyama success last week. I imagine that the kids have probably eaten you out of house and home and ice creams over that period of time. It'll probably have just leveled things up from there.
That's it. No, they're happy kids. I mean, yeah, the summer holidays is a big test of parents, isn't it? But yeah, the end is nigh, isn't it?
It is. Only a couple of weeks left to go. Next week, of course, we'll have plenty more action to look forward to with the British Masters and the Tour Championship. So two cracking events for that. Thank you for watching this week. Dave Clark will be back with Steve next Tuesday, hopefully celebrating another success at 2 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel to preview those two events, the British Masters and the Tour Championship. Don't miss it. And until then, like, comment, share and subscribe. Enjoy your golf this week and remember to gamble responsibly.